There's a lot of crowds, a lot of commotion, and all the excitement about Jesus Christ is growing. They're making their way from Jericho to Jerusalem. They're going to celebrate the Passover. And the news of his miracles is spreading. The popularity in that sense is kind of probably reaching its peak. The people are rejoicing. They're shouting, "Hosanna, Son of David," which is a messianic acclamation. "Hosanna, save us, God save." And this is what we celebrate as Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And it started here in the City of the Palms as they gathered together and everyone is all excited. There's a lot of hope, a lot of hope. Now this text for us this morning, the central point that I would like to share with you this morning is that God responds to our expectations. God responds to our faith. He does not force himself upon us, but he wants us to ask. For us, faith in this context involves asking to Jesus to do something for you. Now, this does not have really any meaning for us unless we can articulate a need to Jesus Christ. We can share with him. We can ask for his help, and we can cry out like blind Bartimaeus did. Now, there's thousands of people on the road. The place is absolutely packed. And, you know, it's worth to note as we look at this text and we talk about our faith, I want to just compare where this story occurs in other parts of the Bible. It occurs in Matthew, it occurs in Luke, it occurs in Mark. Now, there's an interesting thing that I've learned. This is from years back when I was doing Bible translation, teaching people how to translate the Bible. We'd spent a lot of time in Bible study over those 18-some years. And one thing that I've noticed is that there are discrepancies in the Bible. There are times when the Bible accounts do not seem to agree. Now, for some, that's an issue of doubt. Doubters will say, well, see, there you go. It's a human book. Doesn't make it a human book. Makes it a fascinating book. Because God inspired that book. God inspired every single word that's in that Bible. And the fact that he inspired every single word in that Bible means that he inspired the differences as well. Why? Why would Matthew have two blind men and no name? Why would Luke have one blind man and no name? And why would Mark have one blind man and his name? Exactly the same story. Not any different, it's the exact same event. Seeing it from different sides. You know, we should never lose, and I pray that it's always in our heart vibrant, this fascination with God's Word. This fascination with what God would have to say and how he would want to say it to us. You know, it's just an amazing thing. It's so easy for our faith just to lose that wonder at the depths of God's revelation to us. And it is good for us to do a little bit of sleuthing, a little bit of digging into that so we're able to see. So were there one or two blind men? Yes. You know, if we take a closer look, we can see that in this city, there were a lot of blind people. This city actually had a plant that grew in it called the balsam plant. And in those days especially, it was a medicine. It was used as medicine for people suffering from blindness. So there's a lot of people in this city who are suffering from blindness, maybe from birth, through some affliction in their life, or from some battle injury or something. So there's a lot of blind people there, a whole bunch of them. Now, blind Bartimaeus, of course, is not the only blind person there. There's many. He's crying out, though. And so, you know, there's an interesting thing. If you compare Matthew with Luke and Mark, there's a sentence that's not in Matthew. The sentence that's not in Matthew with these two nameless blind people is, "Your faith has made you well." That's very important to note. Because in Luke, it's there. He's speaking to one man. In Mark, It's there. He's speaking to Bartimaeus, who has a name, one person. And he says to that one person, your faith has made you well. Now, here's the thing, is that God saves us by faith. He saves us through faith, not of our works, not of anything that we have done. It's by faith alone. Jesus responds to faith. He senses faith like nothing else. He hears faith, if that's even possible. He knows it's there. And he knows when someone cries out to him, and this is the point, that we should cry out to him. We're all beggars. We all really have nothing to offer him. This guy really had nothing to offer God. Absolutely nothing. And God heard his faith. He responds to it. There's only five times in the Bible where you see Jesus use that expression, your faith has made you well. One was where there was a lady who had an issue of blood that would not stop. And she pressed into Jesus. She would not let the crowds stop her. And the crowds didn't even know that she touched Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? And the disciples were like going, what? Really? How can you even ask that with all the people around? Jesus knew. He knew, and he talked to that lady. Oh, and the lady just, she was so happy. And she was healed. There was a Roman leader, to whom Jesus was just amazed. He was just amazed about the person's faith. He says, I've never seen faith like this in all of Israel. There were two other blind men, not these guys, that Matthew talks about, and Jesus said that to them, and then there's Bartimaeus. You know, it's this idea of faith, this idea of giving a request to God, and he would not be quiet. People were annoyed by him. They were really bummed by this guy. He was messing up their day. He was messing up their celebrating and worshiping of Jesus Christ. He would not be quiet. The word in Greek for his crying out is krazo. I wonder if that's where we get the word crazy from. Because he would not stop. He knew what God could do for him. He believed that God would help him. And he wanted to press into that. Now, the two most powerful words in this whole text are Jesus stopped. That's the key. Jesus stopped. When he noticed his faith, heard his cry, he stopped. And he responded. And it doesn't matter for us. And I want that you and I would see this. You know, it does not matter who you are, how much you sinned, how great your need is, or anything. When you articulate a question, a faith, a hope, to Jesus Christ, he responds. He sees that. And he wants to minister to that need. He knows where to find you. He knows what to say. Jesus is walking through this city with thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people. But he notices your faith. You may seem insignificant. It's not true. It's not true at all. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people think. That does not change God's opinion of you. The scars in his hands and feet prove that. You know, blind Bartimaeus was persistent. He was absolutely persistent. He had an idea of what God was like and what God could do, and Jesus stopped. You know, when Jesus stopped, he asked him a question. I wonder if anybody ever asked this guy a question before. I wonder if anybody ever did that. Jesus says, what can I do for you? What is the root of your relationship with God? It's not your achievements. It's not your money. It's not your works. It's your faith. It's your confidence. You know, it's faith that understanding that we are beggars, that we really have nothing to offer God. And he has everything to give us. It takes a humble realization that everything that I will ever be in eternity is related to how I have cried out for Jesus' help in this life. A wonderful relationship that we have with him. And many people in the crowd got this. They realized when Jesus stopped, Jesus spoke faith into their lives by asking the blind man to come to them. And they responded. They came to him and they said, cheer up. Isn't that great news? That is awesome news. This was such a beautiful message that they said, cheer up. The master is calling you. He wants to bless you. It changed the whole environment. It changed the whole situation. It brought an expectation from people, not everybody in the crowd, but some of those people of faith in the crowd, they realized what God could do and what he was going to do, and blind Bartimaeus was a joyous recipient of that. Now, I'd like you to stop and think. If we make this really practical, what annoys you? I mean, the crowd was annoyed, right? They were annoyed by this guy making all sorts of noise. Is there somebody at work that is really annoying? Is there someone in your life, or, you know, is there a situation, or is there a fear, or is there anything that is annoying to you? Now, see, this point is saying that Jesus Christ wants to come into that situation. Can you hear what he has to say? One, can we see that he stopped? Two, can we see that he has something to say? He says, what can I do for you? He wants to minister to that. He wants to speak to that. And we don't always think about it from that perspective. You know, rather than contribute to the chaos, or rather to the problem, we bring that problem and issue to Jesus Christ. We bring that annoyance to him so that he can speak his healing, his peace, his calm, not only into the situation, but especially to us in that situation. He's speaking to you and me. What do you want me to do? You know, we really have to take the time to listen to what Jesus is saying. We have to realize that Jesus is there wanting to help us. Jesus caused people in the crowd to think that. He caused that reality to come into their minds. And you know, it's important that the goal for us, and really for everybody in this world, is to hear Jesus Christ saying these words, what do you want me to do for you? Wants to minister to us. You know, I'm really so glad last week we had the reverse offering, and if you didn't get that this week, I want to share that with you so that you have that, because it's an opportunity for us to share that grace, be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, if you will, and just let God inspire you, let him minister to you. You know, he's saying to you, what do you want me to do? He's made you his wonderful blessed creation in Christ. It's such a wonderful, joyous thing. You know, and I put some questions in your outline that I would ask you to think about. You know, the first question I had in there is, who's crying out? Have I been shushing or indifferent toward? You know, let Jesus into that situation. Let him speak to that situation. What area of your life do you need to cry out for mercy? And on the backside, there's a verse there that I would like to share with you. It's a beautiful verse out of Isaiah. And look at the wording of this verse. Isaiah 62:6. You people who remind the Lord of your needs in prayer should never be quiet. Never be quiet. Be crazo, crying out all the time. But you have to articulate it. You have to articulate it. When you articulate it, you actually bring it out of your thoughts, you speak it, you hold on to that thought, it becomes real, it becomes fresh, it becomes something that you put before God. We need to do that step. That's an important aspect of it. We need to write it down. We need to hold it in our hearts and minds, keep it in front of us, and know what we're putting before God. That's a very powerful thing. This touches the basic elements, the basic relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. Let us not sell God short. God is moving. He's working in your life. And it is just by faith. It's by us crying out. Let's cry out. Let's never be quiet. For your own personal needs, for the needs of others, let's cry out. And God is he's working. He's moving. God responds to our faith. He sees that. May God bless you and encourage you in that. You know, what I would encourage you to do is this. I would encourage you to write down your lists and your requests. Write them down. Write them down on a piece of paper. Tuck them in your Bible. It's a great thing to do. You know, and then it causes us to reflect on them. It causes us to be honed in on prayer, to be receiving and wanting Jesus Christ to speak in the situations of our lives. It causes us to actually think about the areas where I need His help. It brings that reality. The Holy Spirit's actually kindling that inside of you. May He strengthen you and bless you. As we see Him stop and we see Him respond to us. In Jesus' name, amen.